Thank you, Mr. Westholm. I'm glad you made it. Very good. Wes Coleman said he may not be here on time. And I understand that, but I'm glad you're here to give us a little music to worship about. Yes, all right. He'll appreciate that. All right. Let's see. Well, I know it. I can see that. Man alive. Leave town and one side just almost vanishes. It was funny, in John's church, one night at the conference, it was low, and everybody sat on this side. Except one little boy sat over here. And I said, you just got to make me go over here with my eyes rather than just keep my eyes focused here.
What did you say?
He didn't understand. He's probably thinking, well, don't keep any eye on me. I might do anything bad. We were talking. Dan and Pat came through. They're moving their Grace Gospel Missions to Tucson. So we were all sitting out talking. And I don't even know how it came up, but I said, well, there'll be no more sea in the eternal state, in eternity. Pat goes, what? Where does it say there'll be no more sea? And so I just whipped out Revelation 21:1. She said, you mean you know it just like that? And John Hintz goes, he's been studying it for 20 years. He ought to know where it is.
That's great.
Oh, and tonight, in verse 7, we're going to study the overcomers, he who overcomes. And John was asking me today, he said, well, what do you study tonight? And I said, we're in Revelation 21:7. And he says, oh, yeah, right, you've been in that for 5 years. What is it about? I said, it's about the overcomer. He goes, oh, you're going to talk about Nike. I guess Nike overcomes with their deal. And I went, Nike? No, I'm not going to be talking about Nike. Oh, it's funny. Had a wonderful conference, except for one night, and had a wonderful time and wonderful people. I'm sorry? I don't know. We don't. You know, it just happens here. Just some nights you get here and there's just Jim Passmore and me. And I don't know. But and Jim Langston, and it's the three of us. We go out and no. And but we had a wonderful wonderful conference, good response to the conference. And a couple of people, Jim, I guess they said they'll listen to it on the internet, because I told them how they can just go on SpringValleyBibleChurch.org and pull up this message and go to that. So, is it under specials or is it under Romans?
I'm sorry.
Is the total depravity, is it under specials or is it under Romans?
It's under Romans.
It's under Romans? Okay.
No, we've not taken it out.
I'm sorry?
We have not taken it out.
Okay. So I didn't know if we had a special under that or not. So, Monday night, when John introduced me, first of all, we've been trying to decide when I first started going, and he found a thing for his overhead PowerPoint. It was in April of 89. And then we moved it to May, and then we moved it to June. I said, he's totally going through all the months and going to get me out of there. And let's see, he introduced me, and he said, and tonight, after all these years, Herman's finally found something he knows everything about. He is an expert on tonight, on this week's message, and trust and study. Total depravity.
Oh, I love it.
So, we have a good time. He's got some wonderful people, and you'd love every one of them, and they'd love you, and absolutely, absolutely wonderful. With all of the trouble going on with the Risleys, not with the Rizzis, but in Mexico, affecting their ministry, getting a lot of that material is becoming quite difficult. But Larry, he's been here a couple of times, about my eye, we see eye to eye, and what he's thinking he's going to try to do, he's going to go across just a town just across the border of Nogales, and slowly just build up the number he takes until they get enough, and then either the Rizzis or somebody can come up there and then take it around to Mexico. Grady has been, I don't know if harassed is the word, but because he's an American, because he has Arizona license plates, he's been stopped. Just, hey, you'll be driving along and there'll be a Federale roadblock. And they'll, if they want you to, you have to get out and do all this stuff. And they make him get out. And one time they told him, we're going to confiscate your vehicle. He said, go ahead, take it. I'm fine. So they said, oh, Gary, you can get back in your car and go. They weren't upsetting him. And so we just need to be in fervent prayer for them and their ministry. It is difficult, especially getting the material into Mexico. Once there, everything is going okay. His prison ministry is fine, and Bob and Pat, Bill and Pat, they're just going from little village to village. And as I've told you before, they go where there's just zero money, and nobody really cares. Nobody really cares, so they get to go in and start teaching, and as I told you before, a couple of different little villages. In every little village, there's a beautiful Roman Catholic church, but they're generally just no priest. He may come through once every 2 or 3 months, and whoever's in charge, by the grace of God, responds to Bill and Pat and just tell them, well, you meet in our building. Just meet there and have a classroom and do whatever you want. It's not used at all. And, you know, people will come into the main sanctuary and light candles and this stuff. But as far as the rooms and all, just come on in. So we just need to be in prayer for them and for their ministry and for their difficulty. And so just be in prayer. Be in prayer for our youth camp. Joe, and I'm not going to get into any controversial thing here on purpose, but Joe's been at a conference, a youth camp in Florida. He was invited, and he called John, and he just said, I'm sorry, I just forgot how legalistic the grace people are that believe in 1 John 1:9. He said it was just overbearing. They scream grace and they live works. You gotta confess. You gotta study doctrine every day. You gotta do this. You gotta do that. A lot of got tos. And he said, I was just never so happy to get away from a group of people like that. So, needless to say, people, those who believe in spirituality by faith are in the minority. They are out there. They are out there. And I think I told you, and I still haven't had a chance to make an appointment, but the teacher of my granddaughter's Bible class in a private school she goes to, they said how to be filled with the Spirit. And he said, I know the textbook tells you one thing, but I'm telling you, you're filled with the Spirit by faith in the Spirit. And she told me that after school, and boy, I nearly died. And I said, man, I want to go in. And, please don't do that. No, she didn't say that. But there are those that see it. So, but we need to be in prayer for the Rizzis, the whole family, and just everybody. Somebody asked me Sunday about the earthquake.
Yeah.
So there it was, an earthquake while we were there, and it was a 7 or 8.
5.3.
It was 75. Well, I got a call from Dolly. Are y'all okay? Because they heard about it all the way in Missouri, is in the news.
You would have felt it.
Huh? Yeah. And so we were sitting in a little restaurant out over the water in a corner, water all around. And it sounded like a sonic boom, but without the beginning and end of it, just boom. And we didn't find out till later that night, next morning, that there was a major earthquake some 70 miles away. So, but we were just fat and happy and wasn't worried about it. Oh, we were having a wonderful meal. They had a big statue in San Diego of y'all have seen pictures in different things of the sailor kissing the nurse on D-Day at the end of World War II. Well, along two ships that are deadlocked and dead docked in the harbor there, have a two-story high statue of the sailor kissing the girl, and then maybe 50 feet behind that, they have a bronze of Bob Hope, a little bit larger than body size, and about 10 soldiers in bronze, and they play in little speakers around his shows when he went to entertain the troops. And I just stayed there for a long time. Everybody else was walking around. I just wanted to stay and listen to that for a while. And but it was really impressive. All of the military, all of the Navy, and all the activity that, goes on in that area. It's a shame it's all going to waste. Okay, let's talk about prayer. First thing we need to do is be in prayer for Tish. Conflicting reports, and when will we know more?
Well,
Monday after the 4th?
I'm not sure, but they don't know. You know, it's like one doctor thinks that it's gone, and
the cancer.
Another doctor thinks that it's stable. And so I went to the plastic surgeon today, and he says he could remove it. He thinks he can remove it, and it should be removed. He feels like it should be removed.
Okay.
And we won't know until he takes it out and has it tested if there's still cancer in there. But he definitely thinks it should be removed.
Okay.
Yeah. And
when will you make that decision?
Well, he didn't. He wouldn't take. He doesn't take my insurance, so he recommended another doctor. I had to go. So I go to him on July 6th. July what?
Fifth.
Okay. And so I'll talk with him, and then we'll. And he says he can do it in the day surgery places, so I won't have to be in the hospital.
Good.
So. That's
where
I'm at.
Okay.
So I don't know.
Well, we'll continue to be in prayer, Tish.
The other two seem to be gone. We're only dealing with one.
No. Okay, good. The other two places are gone. Mm-hmm. Well, that's very good. That's a very good sign.
Yeah. So.
Okay.
Yeah. And it was not. He said it was 99.99% fatality with this type of cancer.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Wow.
So that trip to Mexico, though.
All of it, I think it's all built on everything that I've done is built on each other.
Very good.
If I went the traditional way, I'd be dead.
Oh, yeah. Well, we're glad you didn't go the traditional way.
Thank you. I am too.
Maybe Jerry thinks otherwise.
Jerry still sends her chocolates and. And we'll continue to be in prayer.
Yeah.
And Jerry, your dad?
Oh, he's doing good. Operation only took an hour. Only got about a 4-inch scar. 5 hours later, he was walking on it.
Wow, very good.
Tomorrow afternoon.
Very good.
So he's doing good.
Oh. I've got him beat in the scar.
Yeah.
He's got a longer one on his other leg.
I got a longer one right
now. Let me show you mine.
Kind of like commercial.
Yeah, I've seen that.
Yeah.
Me and comparing
this. Oh. Okay, Larson, I can't get into that. Okay, we'll continue to be in prayer for his healing and all. And let's see, we need to be in prayer for Nathan. And please be in prayer for Judith. She's just really under it. And she asked me if I was ready to divorce her or kill her. And I said, no. I've learned to stay out of your way. Stay out of your way. Turn on the fans and get out of your way. Hello. So please be in prayer for Judith, and I guess Sharon's under the weather. Uh-huh. Need to be in prayer for Sharon, and so any other prayer? Yes.
And Jerry's mom asked that we be in prayer for his niece's husband's stepbrother, and he's only 28, and he's been dizzy and lightheaded, and he ended up fainting.
That's not good. So they got to find out what they want to do.
Yeah, he's got three young kids.
Ooh. Wow.
Yeah.
Well, what's his first name?
Chris.
Chris? Mm-hmm. Need to be in prayer for Chris, definitely. And God will use this in a spiritual manner as well as the physical. And, Olga, how much longer are you going to be with us?
Until Friday.
Until Friday.
Yeah,
all
right. 25th.
Okay. Good having you.
Thank you.
Do what?
I have one too.
Okay.
My three grandkids were here Sunday.
Yeah.
And they're visiting for the summer. They're staying with their dad, and I'm going to try to get them to go to our summer camp.
Oh, good.
But I just would like to have prayer for them, especially the boy, the oldest one.
Okay.
I think the 14-year-old girl is a believer, and I think the 8-year-old is I think she is
ready. Open to it.
The older boy is going to be probably a little bit more difficult.
What's his first name?
Austin.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we'll be in prayer for Austin. The Holy Spirit will convict him and make the gospel extremely clear. That's all we can really pray in that respect. So, okay, then let's get started on our study tonight. Let's begin with the word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we present to you all of these names, circumstances. Pray, Father, that you will answer them according to your will, that your will be done in each of them. And now, Heavenly Father, we pray that your Spirit will open our eyes to the passage that you've given to us, letting us know so much about the eternal state, what's going to happen in eternity. No other book tells us this, in fact. No other book reveals these things. There is no God but you who knows all of these things. And we thank you and we praise you, Father, that you have seen fit to let us in on some of these things. Answer some of our questions. Not all of them by any means. We walk by faith. But you've given us enough information, Father, that we can have the confidence, the hope of eternity, being with you and your Son and the Spirit. Father, pray now that your Spirit will open our eyes to these things in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, Revelation 21:6, where we left off a couple of weeks ago, 3 weeks ago. Verse 6, and he said to me, it is done. And here we spend some time on it is done. The Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give to the one who thirsts from the springs of water of life without cost. And it is done. And first we want to note what these words follow the statement, right, for these words are faithful and true. And why are they faithful and true? Because our God is the only God. He was there and he knows all of these things. We spend some time on the I am, the Alpha and the Omega, with looking at the I am phrases in the Word. We won't go over all of those, but it was, as far as I'm concerned, a great study on Christology, understanding and knowing Jesus Christ in the manner that we should. So, continuing verse 6 tonight, he who said to me, it is done, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. The first and last Greek letters, Alpha is the first Greek letter, Omega is the end Greek letter, and this is also in Revelation 1:8, these words are used to show God's absolute authority and control over all things. We have studied how so many people try to be in control, and many think that they are in control. But remember, control is an illusion. Only God is in control. Only God. Control is an illusion. And we just live in a time when so many people want to be in control. It's the man thing, the woman thing, and all of this. But control is an illusion. We should walk by faith. Only God is in control. Many who try to be in control isolate themselves from everyone with the illusion that they're in control. They eliminate and get away from so many people, and they're in control of their little house. They're in control of these things, and they think they're in control of their car until it breaks down. They're in control of this and that until a tree falls on that house or something happens. People, control is an illusion. And the more you isolate yourself pretending you're in control, then you're just an illusion. You're deceiving yourself. And people think they're in control until a crisis occurs, and until death occurs. Then they realize, you know what, I'm not in control. This is not what I wanted. So I'm not in control. God and God alone is in control. So the best thing that we can do is simply trust Him. Walk by faith, not by sight. Alpha to Omega, He is trustworthy, faithful. See, now all of these things are telling us about God. He is trustworthy, faithful, Alpha, Omega, that's God. The beginning and the end. He is eternal life. Eternal life is a person. Jesus Christ is all-inclusive in history. He said the beginning. Okay, as God, there is no beginning or ending. So what does this mean, the beginning? Well, this is the beginning of creation. This is the beginning of creation. Before creation, God has been here, just make a point, billions of years. There never was a time when God wasn't. So the beginning is the beginning of creation. So the presence of the definite article, the beginning. And this is the beginning of creation. And the Greek word for beginning is the Greek word arche, which, I can get this thing off, it's like this. And that's A-R-C-H, long E, arche, and the beginning. Used here to denote that He is the cause. He is the cause of all creation. But not only does this word reveal that He is the cause of all things, but that all things are because of Him. He is the cause of all things, and all things are because of Him. Because of His existence. He is the beginning cause of everything that is. And then it says, and the end, telos. Telos looks like this. T-E-L-O-S, telos. It's the end. This might ring a bell with you. Jesus Christ on the cross, tetelestai. It's the same root. It is finished. It's complete. It's complete. So the end, the completion. With reference to time. Here, telos is reference to time. He is the fulfillment of all things. He is the completion of everything that was planned from eternity past. This is used of God Himself in a declaration statement of His sovereignty over Satan. Look with me, if you will, at Isaiah 44. I just love studying anytime and referring back to Isaiah 40 through 60, the discussion between Satan and God. I say discussion, it's really a monologue. Satan's just standing there going, duh. But it's God speaking to Satan in so many respects. But let's look at Isaiah 44, and let's look together at verse 6. Thus says the Lord, the King of Israel, Jesus Christ, and His Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, God the Father. I am the first, and I am the last. There is no God besides me. Now, you remember in the Isaiah passage, this is, I am God, and there is no other God, no other God beside me. Satan said, I am. Now, you got to appreciate, I am. I've seen posters with I am in the middle and then a whole bunch of I ams around it, which is fine. But what you have to understand about I am means self-existing. I am self-existing. and none of us are self-existing, including Satan. Satan is not self-existing. His existence comes from God. Only God is the true I am, self-existing. So the lost thus the Lord, the King of Israel, Jesus Christ, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, God the Father, I am the first, I am the last, and there is no God besides me. This statement, I am the first and the last, are said of both God the Father and God the Son. Here in Revelation 21, God is declaring that he is the first cause of all things and the finality of all things. Now, with all of this in mind, let's look at Romans chapter 11, please. Romans chapter 11. John and Dan have more fun kidding me. They both say, do you really think you're going to live long enough to complete Romans? I told them, I'm pushing God here. If I pray that he'll let me, then I'll be around. Okay. Romans 11:36. Romans 11:36. For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen. The addition to him shows that all things are for his glory and his purpose. Now, I want to quickly add something here. Just another point about God. We have a constitution, declaration, important documents, a government of the people, by the people, for the people. We all know that is no longer true. It doesn't matter what the people vote. Our current government's going to do what they want to do. They'll find a way of just overcoming it. We know that. Documents by man, what I'm trying to say is, they're only as good as the people. But when God says, for from him and through him and to him are all things, people, that's going to be. No one's going to counter that. Satan's not going to counter that. Man's not going to counter that. Man may think he can counter that, but he's not. All things are through him, and all things to him, and all things are for him. To him be glory forever. Amen. Now, with all of this in mind, let's turn to Ephesians 4. This is God speaking. These are things we're learning about God. Last time we learned about Jesus Christ with all the great I ams, we're learning some things about God. God says these things. He's faithful. He's true. And he's the beginning, the end. He knows it all. He was there from the very beginning, the very end. It's all because of him. Not only was he there, it's because of him, by him, for him, through him. Ephesians 4, look at verse 6. One God and Father of us all, who is over all. One God and Father of all, who is over all, and through all, in all. This is God. This is who and what he is. So just over and over in many different contexts, the same message. The very same message comes out. That God is the ultimate cause of all things. I don't care what the current administration, what man thinks, what people want to, the smart people today, there is no God, being wise in their own mind and their own estimation, become fools. God is. And always has been and always will be. Now, let's look in Revelation 22:13. Revelation 22:13. These same words are said of Jesus Christ. And why not? They're one and the same. Jesus Christ, God the Father. I am the Father and me. Revelation 22:13. I am the Alpha and the Omega. The first and the last, the beginning and the end. Since God the Father works through Jesus Christ, the title applies to both persons. Now, one more, if you will, let's look at Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1, and we want to just look at verses 2 and 3. In these last days has spoken to us, well, let's just read from verse 1. God, after He spoke long ago to the fathers in the prophets, in many portions and in many ways, in these last days has spoken to us in His Son, whom He has appointed heir of all things. Through Him also He made the world. So both God the Father and the Son made the world. And He is the radiance of His glory. He, Jesus Christ, is the radiance of His, God the Father's, glory. And the exact representation of His nature. Jesus Christ is the exact representation of the nature of God, and upholds all things by the word of His power. When He had made purification of sin on the cross, He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. Sat down at the right hand of God the Father on high. Okay, let's go back to Revelation 21 now. Revelation 21 and verse 6. And He said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end." And then He says, "I will give to the one who thirsts from the spring of the water of life without cost." Okay, I will give. Future active indicative of didomi. It's our common ordinary word for giving, to give. And it means to give freely, graciously. Give as a gift. No one will have to work for what I freely give. The future tense is used to show the character of Jesus Christ throughout all history. I, and we have the emphatic pronoun, so it should be translated I and no other, will give, and then it says, to the one who thirsts. Okay? This is the present active participle of dipatso. Let's take a look. And it's a normal word for thirst. Alright? Okay. D-I-P-A long O. And the word means exactly that. It means to be dry. It means to thirst. It comes from the root to be without. To be without. This can be literal or figurative. Just as our study on the blood Sunday morning. This can be literal or figurative. To be literally starving for water. To be literally starving for water. Example, Jesus Christ on the cross. I am thirsty. He was physically thirsty. Or, it can be used figuratively. To intently desire something. To thirst for truth. To thirst for the gospel. It has been used this way throughout the Bible. It is one of those natural things that God uses over and over, like light and darkness, uses the thirst concept. Let's look at Gospel of John 4. The Gospel of John 4. Gospel of John 4, and we want to read verses 13 and 14. Jesus answered and said to them, to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water," the water at the well, this is meeting the woman at the water of the well, "everyone who drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him shall never thirst, but the water that I will give him will become in him a well of water springing up to eternal life." So here we have the physical water that they'll thirst and we thirst again. We have the figurative for the water that gives eternal life. Let's look at John 6. Verse 35, John 6:35. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will not hunger, and he who believes in me will never thirst again. Well, what is he talking? Well, that's a mixture of a lot of things. Thus we understand the analogy of thirsting for eternal life, thirsting for salvation. I am the bread we eat. And the bread of life we eating is a picture of faith. And he who comes to me will not hunger. And he who believes in me will never thirst again. So we understand what thirsting, drinking is. It's analogous to believing. Faith is food. Eating and drinking are both analogous to our faith. So we get chapter 7. 37 and 38. Chapter 7, 37 and 38. Now on the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Okay, this is figurative. This is not literal, this is figurative. He who believes in me, as the scripture said, from the innermost being will flow rivers of living water. Now look at the next verse, just so you'll get the interpretation. But this he spoke of the Holy Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive, for the Spirit was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. All right, let's look at Revelation 21:6. Which we just studied. Revelation 21:6. He who said to me, It is done, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give to the one who thirsts. Thirst, not physical, spiritually. From the spring of the water of life. Figurative. Eternal life. Without cost. In other words, no work. Look at chapter 22, Revelation 22, verse 17. Revelation 22:17, the Spirit and the Bride say, Come. Let the one who hears say, Come. Let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who wishes take the water of life without cost. So these are pictures of our salvation and used the thirsting for this truth. And I love to hear testimonies of people, how they come to believe in Jesus Christ as Savior. I enjoy that sometimes it does involve a thirsting, sometimes not so much, but it's I just love to listen how different people responded to the gospel of Jesus Christ. The starving need of spiritual aid. In the Beatitudes, Jesus Christ makes a similar statement. Let's look at Matthew 5. This is in the Beatitudes. Blessed are. Matthew 5, 6. Matthew chapter 5, verse 6. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. The gospel will get to them. People hunger for the word, hunger for the gospel. It will come to them. It will be given to them. Many do not, but many do throughout history. And let's look at Psalm 42. Just showing you how prominent these kinds of things that we're looking at the close of Revelation, the introduction to eternity, are throughout Scripture. Now, verse 1 in your text is the beginning of the psalm, but the psalm actually begins in that little thing that's written above it, thirsting for God in trouble and exile, for the choir director, A. Maskell, the sons of Korah. Now, so that's part of it. And what we have, thirsting for God in trouble and in exile. And sometimes God takes even a believer to the point where we just were in exile and trouble. We just thirst after Him. And it's His way. Remember, I'm here. Remember me. Now let's look at verses 1 and 2 as far as the English text is concerned, written text. As the deer pants for the water brooks. See, it's about thirsting for God in trouble and exile. So he says, as the deer, they can relate to this, pants for the water brooks, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God. Now this isn't for salvation. This is for help in life. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? So this is a panning in life. We're hunger, thirsting for Him to help us in life. Let's look at Psalm 63. Psalm 63, verse 1. Psalm 63, verse 1. A psalm of David. Oh, the thirsting soul, satisfied in God, a psalm of David when he was in the wilderness of Judah. O God, You are my God. I shall seek You earnestly. My soul thirst for You. So that what we know is God's is God. He's a believer, but it's been estranged. My flesh yearns for You in a dry and weary land where there is no water. So it's a very picturesque picture of being in need of God. You can tell when people thirst for God. You can tell when people thirst for the Word of God. Thirst for teaching. People, I'm sorry. Spring Valley Bible Church on Sunday is not thirsting for Bible teaching. They're not hungry. They're not thirsting. Now, if the time comes when circumstances are different, I hope someone will be there if they thirst. But they don't thirst. They're very busy with their world, very busy with their things, very busy with earning money, taking care of bills, doing all of these things. But when you really thirst, you know it. And I'm not saying it's because I'm a pastor. I'm saying it because it's me. All through my life, just, boy, before I became a pastor, just get away from the Word a little while, just maybe a day or two, and I thirst. I need to be there. And good times, bad times, I need to rush back to the Word. And again, I'm so appreciative that you come on Tuesday and Wednesday night, and so that we have so enough to fulfill this mission of studying and teaching God's Word. But you're studying through the Bible, and there are people who thirst for it. People thirst in Africa. People still ask me about Dan and Pat. I mean, it's got to be exciting to go where people just thirst. I mean, they'll just come. They'll walk all day if you're teaching that night, or all day before if you're teaching the next day. They will walk. They don't have transportation. They don't have food, but they'll walk to hear the teaching. And every place that I've gone in Africa, there's a hunger. They don't have it on television. They don't have it on the radio. They don't have it like you and I do. And they're hungry for it. They thirst for it. And it is very tempting to just sit down and just want to be with them teaching and teaching and teaching. In Liberia, he'll have it just every day that he wants to teach, there'll be people there. They want the truth. And there are people, I understand, in China the same way. They will endanger even their life to study the Word. Have somebody teach them the Word. So you'll know when you hunger for the truth. You know what's when you're really hungry for it. Let's look at Isaiah 12. Isaiah 12. In fact, I'll share something with you. We were talking, and Dan asked me why we don't do two on Sunday morning and then just do either Tuesday or Wednesday night. And I just said, I got to tell you, I love having at least 3 days a week when we can meet and study the Word rather than just do it all in one day, just getting a whole, like a camel gets a whole lot of water at one meal. I enjoy us worshiping, and I appreciate you coming and to study God's Word throughout the week. All right, let's look at Isaiah chapter 12, and we're going to read verses 3 through 6. 3 through 6. Therefore, you will joyously draw water from the springs of salvation. And in that day you will say, give thanks to the Lord, call upon His name, make known His deeds among the peoples. Make them remember that His name is exalted. Praise the Lord in song, for He has done excellent things. Let this be known throughout the earth. Cry aloud and shout for joy, O inhabitant of Zion, for great in your midst is the Holy One of Israel. It's the response when you, that thirst is satisfied, you just give thanks so much for it. And these are ones who thirst for the Word, and when they get it, they're so thankful for it. Let's look at Isaiah 41. Isaiah 41, verse 17. We're going to do 17 and 18 while you're writing. Verse 17. The afflicted and needy. Okay, afflicted with sin and total depravity and in need of salvation are seeking water, figurative, for relief. But there is none. Satan has made the land a wilderness. That's what he's doing to America. He's making it a wilderness. And their tongue is parched with thirst. Figurative for soul thirst. It's the condition of man. Now here's what the Lord does. I, the Lord, will answer them myself. As the God of Israel, I will not forsake them. He will send water of the Word by a prophet. Verse 18, I will open rivers on the bare heights. When you thirst for water, God brings rivers of water and springs in the midst of the valleys. I will make the wilderness that Satan's turned it into a pool of water, and the dry land fountains of water. When people are negative and do not want the Word, the land becomes dry. The land becomes spiritually barren. Much like what America is becoming today, spiritually barren. But for those who do thirst for the truth, God will provide it. Great deal of religion in America. Mega churches. But as far as the teaching of truth, of the gospel, sound doctrine, it's a barren land. People really just do not really want it. We're more and more. Christians don't want it that much. Unbelievers don't want it hardly at all. Let's look at 44, Isaiah 44. Verse 3. Isaiah 44:3. For I will pour out water in the thirsty land. So first of all, you got the land. It's barren, hot, and dry. But there are people who thirst for the truth. I'll send water. And streams on the dry ground. I will pour out my spirit on your offspring and my blessings on your descendants. Okay, let's go back to Revelation 21 now. I and no other, verse 6, I and no other will give to the one who thirsts from the spring of the water of life, living waters. And we've studied some things about the living waters. And so, let's see. Well, we'll just start here next week and continue verse 6. And I thought we'd get into verse 7 to the overcoming. So NICAR is going to have to wait till next week and for their commercial. But we will continue here in our study. I just love what Christ is doing, and we studied why he's doing this at this point in Revelation 21. So we'll continue here. Let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we do thirst. We thirst for the truth. We thirst to know more and more of you and of your word, of your son, your spirit, your plan. It's the stability of our life. It's the refreshment of our life. Pray, Father, that you will continue to allow this humble assembly to be here, this little water hole that we can come and drink. To protect this little water hole. Give us longevity. Or we can just continue to come with our cups and draw from it. To be refreshed. To be encouraged. To see that you are in total control regardless of what's going on around us. Father, we praise you for these things in Christ's name. Amen.